You would like to go ahead and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. We have been using 2 Peter chapter 1 as our subject for, I guess, 5-6 weeks, somewhere in there. 8 weeks. Time flies when you're having fun. 8 weeks. And we began in verse 5. And we talked about the additions, the statements of addition here. And it concludes, and that's in verse 8 and 9. And that's where I'm going to pick up. That's where I'm going to pick up. So if you remember back in all these lessons, these devotionals about the different words, diligence, virtue, to virtue, knowledge. And you know what? Let's read it just to refresh our memories. And then we'll talk verses 8 and 9. Beginning in verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Okay, now here we go, verse 8 and 9. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. For a long time, until actually today, I've always heard barren. Because barren's in the King James Version, it's in the New King James Version. I thought it was just redundancy, barren nor unfruitful. When a woman is barren, she cannot bear fruit, a child. She cannot do it. So I thought it was just redundancy for emphasis. But if you really look at that word barren, it would be better to translate it as Oh, man, I wish I could read the right hand that did not work. idle, ineffective, okay? And in the ASV, they translate it as idle, and in the ESV, ineffective. Well, an idle person doesn't work. They sit there idly, right? When your car is in idle, it's not moving forward, okay? So that is a... that is a different thought process than barren in my mind. So if we run with that, okay, then it makes sense to also say unfruitful. In fact, the ASV and the ESV uses barren as unfruitful. So there we go. Epiphany, right? I had an epiphany, the little light bulb that shows up in the cartoons, right? That's what my English teacher helped us do when I was in freshman in high school. An epiphany. I was like, what's an epiphany? That's a dumb word. No, it's the light bulb in a cartoon. I was like, now it's a cool word. Epiphany. Okay? So there we have it. If we aren't abounding, if we don't have these things and we're not abounding, that act of moving forward, we're idle and we're fruitless. Okay? We have passages where Jesus says himself that he's going to hewn down the trees that are unfruitful. Okay? And he calls the idle worker slothful, right? These are negative words. We don't want those words to be associated with us, which is why we really need to work on adding these things into our characteristics, okay? Making sure that we are following here. And they progress. I mean, it's a progressive word system. It's brilliant. It's not just random words. You have to master one to move to the next a lot of times. Okay? Just like taking one step on the staircase, you don't try to jump up to that third one if you're me, because you'll pull the hamstring, probably rip it off the bone, and then you have to have surgery there too. Okay? You start with a little step. So, verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Let's look at these verses, this verse here. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. When we stop trying to practice these things, God isn't saying that this may happen to you. This is what will happen to you. You will forget that you were forgiven. You will forget. You'll fall back into the lifestyle that you were because you'll forget why it's even important. And that's the scary thought. Because if you forget, you don't remember until Judgment Day. If you forget, you don't remember till someone reminds you. And hopefully it's one of us in here saying, hey, bud, wake up, please. Remember, you went in that. I baptized you, maybe, right? It could be one of those situations for those who have baptized somebody. Don't forget, we went in that water. We had those Bible studies. You need to stay on top of those studies. Don't forget. But here's something that we need to keep going as well. Verse 10 and 11. I didn't mention them earlier, but that's because a lot of times, depending on your Bible that you're using, they'll stop the thought process. They'll put a parenthetical sign. It looks like a P with two lines in it. And they'll say that that's a new thought, but it's not because it says therefore. Okay? Therefore, which ties into the previous thoughts. Brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, what things? The things we just talked about, right? That's why the therefore is there. You will never stumble. That's a bold statement, isn't it? But if you think about it, if you're working on these things, it's easy to not stumble because you're looking where you're supposed to be. You're not short-sighted even to blindness. I mean this in the most loving, passionate way I can. Eric here is blind. Eric, do you trip more now than you did when you had sight? Is it harder to walk now?
Well, I have a stick, so I learned how to use it.
Yeah, had a stick, now he learned how to use it. I think short answer is yes. If he had his eyeballs, it'd be easier to walk. But when we're short-sighted and blind, we will stumble. Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, we're not going to trip on the doorstep. The door is going to be open real wide for us if we do these things to get into that kingdom. So what does that mean if we do forget? That door is not open for us anymore. So it's important that we remember to work on those things that we've been discussing for 8 weeks. Because we don't want to be guilty of being short-sighted or blind and therefore forgetting what we have. We have forgiveness for our sins. There are some really bad things that I don't like to mention about my past that I'm glad I don't have to answer for anymore. They're washed away. That's a beautiful thought. And it's a promise from God that that's the way it's going to be. If there's anyone here, which on a Wednesday night is a lot more rare than on a Sunday, but if there's anyone here that has not had their sins washed away, then we need to do that. I think about the Philippian jailer, and I think about Lydia in Acts, in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 19. And those people the same night were baptized. They didn't try to have week-long Bible studies. They were told right then and there, and they understood. We live in a time where we listen for forever. We question everything. And that's good, because there's a lot of false stuff out there. But when the men of God came to those two people and said, and preached, actually just preached Jesus is the way it was phrased, they knew that they needed to be baptized right then. Why? To have their sins washed away. So if you have not done that, and you know that that is something that you need to do, we can make that right tonight. And if there are those here that perhaps have not been working on the things we've discussed for 8 weeks now, And they are beginning, you, me, whoever it may be, are beginning to forget that we have been saved from those sins. And we are starting to stumble, starting to be blind. Then let's make it right now. If it's something private, if you have a sin, if you have something that you need to go to God for privately, do it privately. Get yourself fit right with God. If it's something that you're doing publicly, where everyone knows you're doing it, and you've been confronted, and you know it's bothering your conscience, and you're still there, then come forward. Make it right with us so that it can be right with God. That's the point of the public asking for forgiveness, right? In a public way. It's when the public knows what you're doing. And then there are times where we're just struggling. We don't have sin. We're just having a hard time. And the congregation's here to help through that. We are a family. We are a Christ-bought family. And so we need to help each other out. If you have a need in any of those forms or fashion that you need the help of the congregation to make it right, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.